Let's read a portion of scripture.
Castanello,
found in the book of James chapter 5. And remember what I read this morning, because I'm going to pick that up. About the sower going forth to sow the seed. James chapter 5. James is just before Peter, after Hebrews is James, and just before 1 Peter, you have the book of James. Very outstanding scripture. Now, from verse 1 to 6, is speaking about those rich men with their riches in the last days, and about the judgment that is going to come upon them. And from verse 7, what we would like to read, he is speaking about the coming of the Lord. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And we know the coming of the Lord is 1 Thessalonians 4. And Revelation 10. So he's saying, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a farmer waited for the precious fruit of the earth. And go ahead. And had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth near. Murmur not one against the other, brethren, lest you be judged. Behold, a judge standeth before the door. And Revelation 3:20, we know he's knocking on that door. The one with the white wig. The one with the white wig. The supreme judge. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. In those five verses, you have spoken five times about patience. And then from verse 12, he begins to speak about prayer. And he speaks about six times in prayer. And those are things we want to observe, that in the coming of the Lord, how we need to have patience and be in prayer. And verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain.
Elia yali muntu we yakwatibwa byonna nga fe
Notice as he's speaking on patience and prayer, he moves from the book of Job into the book of Kings. Picks up Job and Elijah. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So here he says, be patient and wait for the rain. Just like the farmer is waiting for that rain, so we are waiting for the Lord. But when the rain fell, the earth brought forth her fruit. Let us pray. Almighty God, take your word now and inspire to us. We wait upon you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. So we are speaking here. I took for a title this morning. He has come unto us as the rain. Amen. And to really find that, we need to go to the book of Hosea. So let's find the book of Hosea. It's right after Daniel. We want to really get into the word this evening. I trust you love reading your Bible and see what is really inside of it. Because the book has been opened. Amen. Now here is Hosea, a prophet of God. Old Testament prophet. And he's bringing forth his prophecy. And in chapter 6, from verse 1, he says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. For he hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now here is Hosea. Hold the Bible open right there. He has a vision. And he's bringing forth his prophetic vision. And he's giving a prophecy here about 700 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus the first time. He was a prophet in Israel. And he is bringing forth his prophecy. And he's saying, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. He had a prophecy of Israel coming back in the last days. How they were smitten, how they were afflicted, and they were scattered into all the earth. When did that happen? When they rejected their Messiah. They said, let his blood be upon us. And in AD 70, Titus came, that Roman general, and scattered them into all the earth. And not until this last generation, after World War II, did we see Israel coming from all nations of the earth back into their homeland. And as we notice the accuracy of the prophet, because in the Bible it says a day with God is as 1,000 years. And he's saying after 2 days, in the third day. Amen. So here we are seeing in the third day, about 2700 years after that prophecy was given, Israel coming back in their homeland. They were rushed by political disturbance into their homeland. Many scriptures in the Bible, like Ezekiel 37, where God said he will bring them out to the nations. It was shown in shadow and type in the Bible. Like Joseph's brothers coming back in a time of economic depression. And how Joseph was going to reveal and make himself known to his brothers. But we find out between the gathering of Joseph's brothers and Joseph revealing himself to his brothers, he had to dismiss his wife to the palace. But we have seen Joseph's brothers gather together. And Joseph's bride is still here. And we know the reason why they are gathered. They have come back to see the Messiah. And here we see between those two times, between the Feast of the Trumpets, which was a gathering of the scattered people, and between the Day of Atonement, which is Joseph making himself known to his brothers, and the Joseph we are speaking of is the Lord Jesus, and between that sixth trumpet, because six trumpets sounded. That was the Feast of Trumpets. To bring them back in the homeland. The seventh trumpet is Moses and Elijah. In Matthew 24, verse 31, Jesus said, I will send my angels. Plural. With a sound of 8 trumpet singular. Amen. The ministry of Moses and Elijah. Making known Christ.
message that we have received will go to Israel. Amen. And here we are receiving this revelation. We will rush from all denominations. Just like Israel was rushed from all nations. Amen. Hallelujah. And though they are all back in their homeland, they haven't received the Holy Ghost. They don't know which tribe they belong to. They don't know their position in the land. Six trumpets sounded and rushed them back in their homeland. And their seventh trumpet is parallel to our seventh seal. Six seals open up. Russia from all denominations brought us to the promised word. But under that seventh seal, hallelujah, Revelation 10, that mighty angel is to seal that name in our forehead, is to reveal to us our position, is to give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until that seventh trumpet is preached to Israel, they will not know who they are. Amen. So we see that even Dan and Ephraim, their names was not written to go into the millennium. Though they came out of the nations with the rest of the tribes, they will not go into the Holy Ghost. Their name was blotted out for idolatry. Amen. So we realize that Israel is back in that homeland. Under that sixth seal, Moses and Elijah will reveal Christ. Amen. The spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ was also here in this day. Because like Elijah, Malachi 4 went forth, rebuked that Jezebel, called out that 7,000. Repair the altar, the evening sacrifice. Like Moses, he called the Exodus, revealed the token, bring us under the blood into the only provided place. Like the Son of Man, he had a ministry of three poles. Amen. And the same way the stars is going to fall from heaven under the sixth seal, the moon will turn to darkness. The sun won't shine. All those things in a natural form. So we see under our sixth seal, you see, we have the sixth seal in a spiritual form here. Amen. What takes place? He said, all them stars begin to fall. Fallen stars. They said, what kind of stars? He said, fallen Methodists. Fallen Baptists. Fallen Pentecostals. They failed to keep their first estate. Because the stars in heaven represented the spirit of man on the earth. God told Abraham, his seed shall be like the stars in heaven. Amen. On the message Shalom, he showed us how the earth came between the sun and the moon.
The earth came between alaga ensi ngawe yajja makati genjuba n'omwezi.
Amen. The moon went into eclipse. He said, what it is? Gross darkness in the people. The moon represented the church. The earth represented the worldliness. Blocking out the sunlight. The gospel light. Throwing the church into darkness. Amen. So we see all those things are happening, friends. That is happening in this hour. We would need spiritual revelation to see how far advanced we are. And it says here, in that third day, after they have come back in their homeland, before they recognize the atonement, he will come unto them as the rain, and we shall live in his sight. Hallelujah! Then they will bring forth their fruit. Because Moses and Elijah will plant a former rain. They will bring the teaching. And the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, revealing those names in the book. Because Daniel 12 says, in that day, Michael the great prince shall stand for his people, and he shall deliver the names as found in the book. Amen. The same one who has come here with the open book, delivering those names that is found in that book. Has your name been in that book? Has it been revealed? That mighty angel who had an open book. Who is that angel? Is that the archangel? Is that Michael with the open book? Is that the Lord Jesus revealing that you are in that book? And there's a total deliverance for you. Hallelujah. So we see, he has not yet come unto them as the rain, but he has gathered them. They are not yet living in his sight, because he will reveal himself to them when the bride goes off the scene. Amen. And since what takes place with them is taking place with us here, because when does the Lord come? Revelation 10. If you look in your Bible, it takes place between that sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet. It takes place between Israel gathered in the homeland and Israel recognizing the Messiah. When was Israel gathered in the homeland? 1946. Amen. But they have not yet recognized the Messiah. When was Revelation 10 fulfilled? 1963. Where is that place? Between the gathering of Israel and Israel recognizing the Messiah. But he will come unto us as the rain. Has he come unto us as the rain? He's coming in a cloud. Amen. He cried a loud voice. Seven thunders of conceived. Amen. So we can see from the scripture that when rain is coming, it comes in the form of clouds. Then we see the lightning. Why? Because the light travels faster than the speed of sound. So Dore saw the evening light. They were confused about the seven thunders. Amen. So we see the cloud. We see the lightning. We heard the thunders. What it is? He is coming unto us as the rain. We even saw the rainbow. Because our rainbow was upon his head. Who it is? Who is the rain? He himself. Hosea said, we are waiting for the coming of the Lord. As the farmer waited for the early and latter rain. But the rain we are waiting for is the Lord himself. Because he's the Holy Spirit. He is the seed. He is the sower. He is the fruit. You hear what I said? The Word is the sower. The Word himself. The Word itself is the seed. The Word itself is the rain. And the Word himself is the fruit. Is he all the time? He said, Saul went forth to sow. The sow was the Son of Man. And the seed was the Word of God. Who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. So the sower, the Son of Man, who is the Word himself, was sowing the revelation of himself. Because every seed brings forth after its kind. He wanted to reproduce himself. And so we see Jesus. When he went forth in his ministry, he was planting seed. In Luke 8, he said, sow and for the sow seed. Psalms 126, we took it this morning. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed. What are those precious seed? The revelation of the promises for that age. He's going to plant that word. Why is he planting that word? He is looking for a crop. Why do people plow up the land and plant seed? They don't just plant any seed. They are farming certain type of crops. And if they want a particular type of crop, they'll plant that type of seed. Is that right? Amen. So we see in the Bible how Jesus, he was identifying himself as a sower with seed. Well, everybody could have understood what he was talking about. Because it was great farming country. And he was using terminology that the people were familiar with, bringing to them an understanding of what was happening in that day. No, that's God's order in every age. God's order to bring the pastor's word in a certain age. He reveals it to his predestinated servants. Amen. The true souls are predestinated men who, when that seal is open and that mystery is unfolded, they catch that revelation and they see in the Bible what age they're living in. And they see what is promised at that age. And they understand that those scriptures must be made flesh in that age. And they know the process in which God brings it to pass. That's why Peter said, we will give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. That is why Paul says, study to show yourself a workman approved of God. That is why Paul said, study to show yourself a workman approved of God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Because you must stay in the word. If your ministry is going to amount to anything, if you go trying to plant some seed that God is not really interested in for this age, and you all taken up and so obsessed with your little crop that you're coming forth with, and you so impressed with your little garden, and God said, we farmed that in Luther age. Oh, they farmed that in Wesley age. But it's a different age. We don't just want some more justified people. In this age, we give the statue of a perfect man. In this age, we're looking for a rapture in faith. In this age, we're looking for a super race. Amen. So those men had to catch the revelation for their age and then go forth and plant that seed. And after the planting time is over, even when a man is doing ordinary gardening, he has to know the seasons when the rain falls. If he just neglects his field, and then, you know, the rain is about to fall, and he's trying to run quick and clean, weed up the garden, and then get a tractor and try to plow it up, and then all the rain fall, and he says, I still want to plant my seed anyhow. Well, when he plants a seed, he already missed the rain. Because he didn't know he had to have seed in the field first in order to catch the rain. He could argue how much he wants that he have the right seed. He could argue how much he wants that he's preaching the right doctrine. But when you look at the man church, it's dead and formal and powerless. Amen. So it showed that even though he had the right seed, it didn't produce no crop. Amen. So Jesus, knowing the principle, And remember, he was the Word himself. So he couldn't preach nothing that was not in the Bible. He was the God prophet. So whatever he was planting, it had to be according to the word for that age. Now if Jesus, the Son of Man, was sowing seeds, then he was looking for a crop. Isn't that right? Because why would a man, you know, go from city to city to city preaching day and night if he's not looking for a crop? He's not trying to exhibit you have a lot of knowledge. He understands the age. Because Genesis 1 says, every seed will bring forth after its kind. So the only kind of crop that he would receive would be determined by what type of seed he planted. And what kind of seed, what kind of soil the seed fell in. Now when we look at the book of Acts, we see the kind of crop that the Son of Man received after the Holy Spirit, the rain fell upon that seed. Because after Jesus went through a teaching ministry, planting the word, he revealed to them the hour is coming out for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon that planted word, they live, act, and walk just like Jesus. It was Jesus himself in them continuing his work. Amen. And when we look at the Gospels, we see the kind of seed that Jesus was planting in his field. He was identifying himself in the scripture. He was identifying John in the scripture. He came in a very self-righteous age. People were depending upon their own works of righteousness. They were critical of each other. And yet thought they was righteous. He said, take the beam out of your eye first before you can take the mote out of your brother's eye. When they saw him preaching to sinners, they was full of indignation. They said he claimed to be God. He claimed to be a holy God. And he eating and drinking with sinners? When we know angels have to cover their face in God's presence? They said, God is a holy God. That could never be God. And he began to teach a shepherd of 100 sheep. He began to teach a shepherd had 100 sheep. And when he began to check the names of his sheep, in his sheep book. Amen. He found out there's one name still on the outside. And he lived in 99. And he went looking for that one. Because he called his sheep by the name. He was the daughter of the sheepfold. He was the door to the sheepfold.
He was the good shepherd. Amen. He is still looking for his sheep tonight. He is still hunting them. Amen. And here he was trying to reveal to them God's nature and God's love. He told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he was showing the kind of nature that the scribes and Pharisees had. They were trying to keep all the commandments and yet had no mercy. He said, if you'd only understand what it means in the scripture that God rather mercy than sacrifice. Amen. What was he doing? Planting seed. Those seeds was revealing the Father. Because he came to reveal God to them. Amen. So when those revelations were being planted in their heart, it would bring forth after its kind. Amen. He showed them one time two people praying. He stopped his disciples. He said, listen to the prayers of them two men. He said, never pray like that man. He said, God don't hear them kind of prayers at all. He said, listen to this man here. He is more justified before God. One time he's walking on the street. They passed by the temple. Two people was giving their offerings. He said, God don't have no respect to this man offering. He said, this woman here give more than this man could ever give. He is still the same. Amen. He was teaching them. He was planting the word. Because he was looking for a self-righteous crop. He was looking for people who will think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. He wasn't planting for a crop with people who only make carnal comparisons. Who will despise others because they think they have more truth than them. He knew his nature. He wanted to reproduce himself. He wanted to bring forth more after his kind. Because when Adam was given a bride, was to produce another Adam. And Adam failed. Because his bride fell. She received the wrong seed in her womb. And she was defiled. She wasn't to have no serpent seed in her womb. She wasn't supposed to have no serpent seed in her womb. We are not supposed to have no denominational seed in our womb. Amen. Then when Jesus came, he was the second Adam. He was the beginning of the new creation. A new race. And he was planting seed. Because he was looking for a crop. He said, Father, I know you hear me always. Because I do those things that please you always. He knew he was pleasing the Father. That the Father could come behind and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Amen. And he knew that the crop that was going to come forth to write a book of Acts
to follow the ministry of the Son of Man must be of the same quality. Must be of the same kind. Amen. So we see that Jesus, when he went forth preaching that message, there was many other sowers at the same time. He wasn't the only one planting seed. The Sadducees was planting seed. The Pharisees was planting seed. But there is no record that they ever brought forth a crop like what Jesus brought forth. Because they were sowing denominational seed. And they bring forth a group of people. A group of people who only argue and debate. They come to Jesus many times. Asking all kind of foolish questions. Arguing whether there's a prophet going to come out of Galilee. Arguing whether John's baptism was of God or of man. There was only sowing historical seeds. And since every seed brings forth after its kind, what did they produce? A group of historians. Say, we are Moses' disciples. Abraham is our father. They're always looking backwards. He said, if you know Abraham, you know me. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He said, if you have known Moses, you'll know me. Because Moses spoke of me. He was trying to get them to see the present tense. But they didn't know I am that I am. They were talking about I was. Why? Because there is a historical seed. Why cannot people in this hour see that what God is doing today? See the prophesied promises of the prophet coming to pass. Why do they wrestle with it unto their own destruction? Because all they planted was a historical seed. God sent a prophet. Denomination is false. Looking backwards, but failing to come into the position in this hour. They sow theology and they produce a group of theologians. They only see the message as something to theorize and discuss over. They don't see it as practical or working in their own life. But here we see Jesus at this junction in his ministry. The sowing was over. He wasn't planting seed no more. He was now looking at the results of his planting. God sent a message in this country from a certain time, and it's here until this present time. Many men rise up and went forth throughout the country and they begin to plant seeds. It begin to produce a crop. Amen. And so it is today. You may find some that don't believe all the word. You may find some who are looking backwards. You may find some who are fighting others. You may find some with all kinds of strange teachings, not even the message. Have a look at the denominational traditions and the hangovers. What did Jesus tell the Jews? He said, you with your traditions make the word of no effect. They didn't die to everything. They didn't purge out all the leaven. They patched the old garment to the new garment. They try to put the new wine in old bottles. You can't put new wine in old bottles. In those days, they didn't have glass bottles. It was wine skins. They take the animal skin and they make it like a bottle. And the animal skin had oil in it. So the skin was flexible. And when they pour the wine in it, wine is a thing that ferments. It has a life in it. And as it begins to ferment, the wine does expand. But when you have a new wineskin, it's very flexible. So it could expand when the wine expanding. Now when you use out all the wine from that wineskin, it becomes parched and dry. And here was Jesus coming with all them new revelations. And he began to pour it in them Pharisees' wineskin. It was going to them Sadducee wineskin. At one time they had truth for the past age. But it was a new age now. And when that new wine began to expand, and say you need to throw off your traditions. You need to be rebaptized. You need to take off all the men's clothes. You need to line up with the word for the hour. It was so parched and dry. He said, I will not change. And when the wine begin to expand, it begin to burst the wineskin. And then it spill out all the wine. Amen. And so it is in this hour. God had to get a new crop to put this new wine in. Who have no reservations. All that thou sayest, that will we do. Be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah. They have no reservation. What the word said, they want to line up with it. Because to them is more than a tradition. It is eternal life. Amen. So we see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they never receive the crop like Jesus received. But we see Jesus himself. Look at the kind of crop he brought forth. Amen. Why? He knew his age. He knew what to plant. And he was expecting a crop of people just like him. Amen. Did he get it? They wrote 28 chapters of Acts. And Christ in the true church will be the continuation of the book of Acts. When the Son of Man is revealed again in the last days, when he begins to plant the original seed again,
It is going to bring forth a crop just like in the Alpha Bride. Then we'll see the continuation coming forth. Amen. So we see that those Pharisees, under their denominational teaching, planting denominational seeds, what did it produce? It produced a group of people who under a political system, brought a religious persecution upon the elect. Amen. In the book of Acts, they begin to beat them, throw them in prison, say, don't preach in that name. Amen. Peter said, we rather obey God than man. They rejoice when they suffer persecution. Look at Stephen. Even when he's being stoned for his revelation, just like Jesus, he said, Father, lay not this sin against the charge. He could pray for his murderers. He could pray for them that despitefully use him and speak all manner of evil against him. Look at Peter. When they beat them, they could rejoice and be exceedingly glad. But we see Jesus taught those things. Is that right? So now we saw when the rain fell on the plant in the world, it was bringing forth after its kind. Look when he went to the Jairus' house. And he put all the murmurers and complainers on the outside. And he raised Jairus' daughter. Look at Peter. When there was weeping, when Dorcas died, Peter put them on the outside. And he brought Dorcas back to life. It was bringing forth after its kind. Amen. Because Jesus was planting seed looking for a certain type of crop. He had to suffer a lot of persecution because they came against him for his teaching. They all loved him for the signs and wonders. But when he began to preach, they said, this is a hard saying. Who could bear that? And the crowd began to thin down. They couldn't take the full word. But as long as they had miracles, he said, look at them, they come for bread and fish. He saw what the deep was. So when he came to the end of the planting season, he had some questions and answers. He wanted to see where the seed fell. He said, whom do men say I the Son of Man am? Some say Jeremiah. Some say Moses. Some say John the Baptist raised from the dead. Some say Elijah. He saw they all missed the message. Because he was clearly identifying himself in the scripture. He was saying, search the scriptures that testify who I am. Amen. He took the scripture and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled.
But they was putting their own interpretation to the word. And he saw that they never recognized it then, the message. A true sign overlooked. God being misunderstood. Amen. Though God has been identified by his characteristics. Though it's been greater than Solomon is here. Though he's calling the Exodus like Moses. Yet they couldn't recognize who he was. Amen. And he turned to Peter. Whom do you say I am? He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew the elect caught the message. He knew the sowing was over. And he began to notice what was happening to the rest who didn't catch the revelation in that season. Let's look at it for the next few moments. Let's try to follow it closely. If we understand that pattern, if we catch the principle, it wouldn't confuse us when we see things happening today. Because the principle is the same in every age. God opens a seal, reveal the mystery, the messenger on the earth catches it, it spread through the ministry of others who are faithfully taught. There's a former rain, a teaching of the message, a planting of the seed, and then there's a time when the Holy Spirit is fall upon the planted word. Then you get a crop. Amen. And so we see that Jesus was looking at the results of his planting. And as we study the results of his teaching ministry among the people in that age, now I'm taking it on an age level here, as one man sowing for a whole age, but then it is the same principle on a church level. It's the same thing on a national level. And it's the same thing on a global level. It's a law of sowing and reaping. Why is churches full of confusion today? Because ministers sow all kind of confusion. All kind of gossip behind the pulpit. Everybody get a little dream or a little imagination. They begin to plant that just like if it's the word. And they bring a whole crop of superstitious people. When they had the vindicated word, everybody hold on to some little dream or some little idea. Amen. So when you look and you see these things, then you realize they're receiving that kind of crop because that's the type of seed they plant. Sometimes you see people just involved in church politics because they plant political seeds. Amen. So they turn out to be a bunch of message politicians. There's no desire for the promise of the hour. Everything is a debate. This church debating with that church. Amen. And so we see that in every age, how those things always follow. But look at Jesus. He broke down his teaching ministry into four stages. He revealed that there was three out of the four categories who could not bring forth the teaching for the season. Amen. In every age, we have them four categories. In every nation, we have it. In the church, we have it. Amen. He said the first category, he called them the rock, the wayside. He said the word was preached to them. If they had belief in their heart, it would have bring them to an experience of salvation. But the devil moving and pluck it out of the heart. Lest they should believe and be saved. They come in to hear the word. They begin to seize right. They begin to get a conviction. When the service is over, somebody said, don't bother them people. There's a bunch of false things over there. They will want to control your life. Next thing they tell you, you can't paint your face. You can't go to a little party self. And God don't mind all of that. You can still do that and serve God. They come over in our church. We can do that and still serve God. Never come back again. Amen. You call them the wayside. The second group, he said, when they hear it, oh, they receive it with joy and gladness. They get all stimulated. Boy, they come out to serve like they're drunk in the spirit. They say, I was so blessed in that service. They had a good time. It's all sails and no anchor. All they had was an emotional experience. Amen. He said, these have no root. The word don't take root. And it lacks moisture. They only want knowledge. No prayer, no praise. To water the seed. Amen. And they endure for a time. They endure for a time. He said they believe for a while. But then in the time of testing, when affliction and persecution begin to come, they fall away.
They go to work, and somebody criticize them in the office. Since you joined that church, look how you're looking now. You used to look so nice before. What them people do to you up there? They're not willing to be a reproach to the word. Amen. God wants people with more backbone than that. Amen. They get offended. So they start with double standards. They have one set of clothes to wear in work. And they have one set of clothes when they come into church. They have two identities. They don't want nobody to know they identify with the Lord Jesus. But they don't mind the term to look like some popular personality. Or some worldly model or something. And as they try to begin to please the world, they fall away in the time of testing. They depart from the faith. The third group, he said, the cares of this age, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things entering in. Now remember, the same seed fall in all these places. These are people who was hearing the same message. Amen. These are people who was under Jesus' ministry. Amen. He said, but they don't bring forth no fruit to perfection. They're trying to live between two desires. They're trying to serve God and Mammon. They have a moral life. They have a mental faith. They have a filial love. God don't just want a moral life. Muslims have that. Amen. God wants a spirit-filled life. God don't want a mental faith. Amen. The gates of hell prevail against that. God wants a spiritual revelation. God don't just want a person with filial love. When a pastor see you walking, so I give you a ride on the bicycle. I drop some of my provisions for you at home. And then we feel righteous when we do our little good deeds. But as somebody offend you, you can't forgive. God wants an agape love that can love your enemies and pray for them who despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you. Love that can love a wild bull. Amen. Love that can make the hornets go back in its nest. Love that will esteem your brother more than your own self.
Love thou forgive 70 times 7. The first two groups fell away. But the third group was still there. With a profession. But they was not bringing no fruit to perfection. And this is the hour. We must have a perfect faith. A perfect love. Amen. That fruit must come to full maturity. Amen. Glory. Like Lot. He loved the cares of his life. He was coming along with Abraham. And hearing that prophet talking about the angel of the Lord appearing to him. He was seeing how Abraham, that prophet, was receiving all them visions from God. See now God is blessing him and leading him. But then what began to happen to Lot? He began to look out there in the world. He began to pitch his tent towards Sodom. The cares of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. Look at Esau. He was in the womb of the bride. Together with Jacob. Amen. The bride of Eliezer called out. Amen. But he only had fleshly appetites. He had no desire for the birthright. And the birthright was the Edenic blessing to bring forth the woman's seed, to be in line for the Messiah. I don't know how it's going to come out in your language, but in English, we say the birthright is the right birth.
Amen. Amen. The birthright is the right birth. And Esau never wanted it. From the moment he saw something to satisfy his flesh, he was quick to put that second, the birthright second place. Look at Gehazi. He was around the prophet. He saw the prophet perform all the miracles. He sat in the meetings. He saw the angels around the prophet. And yet when the prophet gift brought deliverance to Naaman, and yet Naaman tried to give money and clothing to the prophet. And the prophet wouldn't use the gift for commercial purposes. He said, you keep your gifts. Go back home and testify what God has done. But Gehazi followed the prophet. But when he saw all them three-piece suits, and all them silver and gold, down in his heart, he looked like a message believer outside, but down in his heart, he desired those things. He was trying to benefit from the prophet's ministry.
And he went after that Luca. And he run around and tell a lie to get it. They lust for riches and the cares of the world entering in choke the seed. Amen. And he could bring no fruit to perfection. And he come back in the meeting like if everything was all right. Yet he sat there night after night and saw that gift in the prophet reveal the secrets. And the prophet looked at him. He said, "Did my spirit go with you when you went?" Is now a time for planting olive groves and getting raiment and these things? He said, "The leprosy and Naaman be in you." Amen. And that demon of leprosy comes straight upon Gehazi. Amen. Because all the years he's sitting under the prophet's message, he never get that worldly taste out of him. But there's a fourth group that Jesus was talking about. He said, "They're out of a good and honest heart. They had afflictions. They had persecutions. But like Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." Like Paul, he said, "I glory in my infirmities." We are them who glory in tribulation, because we know tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Amen. And so Jesus was showing them that in every age, those four categories. I'm sure you have seen many come in for two services and never come back. I'm sure over the years you see men who come and shout down the place. But they never had no anchor. I'm sure you see many of them who keep coming along, but they don't seem to have the victory. They're not in the world, but they can't walk in the spirit. They can't live an overcoming life. They're not bringing forth no fruit of perfection. And then you have some who is standing there. They're closer to God today. They're closer to God today. They are closer to God today. Amen. Why? Because they mix the word with faith. Amen. As you bring it to a close, let's look at some other places in the Bible that is relevant to this hour, that we can see the same principle in every age. Because what Jesus was teaching was a principle that was revealed to him out of the Word, that every seed brings forth after its kind. Then what seed have we received? What does the preaching of the word do to us? Is it just congregating us?
Are we just satisfied with the church life? Or are we bringing forth that fruit unto perfection with patience? You can see you are coming to a perfect faith. You are receiving perfect love. Because you must have perfect love here to enter there. You must have perfect faith here to be raptured. Amen. And it's supposed to come from this message. And that was the seed. And if many of us had our reservations about receiving the seed, and yet try to live an overcoming life, it's impossible to do it. Because the ability is in the Word. The nourishment is in the Word. You are what you eat. No person is any more spiritually healthy and stronger than the pure adherence to the Word. Amen. We see in the first Exodus, Moses came for planting seeds. What was the promises he was sowing? He was talking about a promised land of milk and honey. And Moses had the word, the revelation, and he had the signs and wonders. When Jesus came, he didn't just have teaching. He had the dynamics with the mechanics. I'm bringing it to a close. But let's just follow it to bring it to the climax. Amen, because it's a very serious message. Amen. If he has come unto us as the rain, and we have proven that from the word, it was a prophecy. And we see James tying it to the last days. And in the book of Joel, he says you'll have the former and latter rain in the same month. In the month of April. And April is the first month. It's Easter time. Under the Easter seal. Resurrection time. And we have received both rains. It came when the prophet was here. He didn't just have teaching. He had teaching and he had signs and wonders confirming the teaching. He had both rains together. Jesus had both rains together. Moses had both rains together. But when Jesus planted his seed, the apostles was receiving a former rain. But when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, they received both rains in the same season. They were teaching the word and they were performing the signs and wonders. Look at Moses. He came forth preaching. He had the two rains. But where were the children of Israel? In bondage in a system. They were held in captivity. And that prophet was sent for their deliverance. And that prophet was vindicated by a pillar of fire. And that prophet came forth performing signs. Is that right? And then he began to plant that seed. Then they begin to recognize that was the prophet who God told Abraham about. That in the fourth generation, he will bring them out with a mighty hand. So they came out under the prophet's message. They were baptized in the Red Sea. Have you been baptized under the prophet's message? Have you seen a prophet with a pillar of fire? Do you know you were sent for your deliverance? Did you see that prophet speaking things into existence? Was that prophet made God to the people? Was that prophet made God to the people? Amen. Exactly. So here we see, in this day, just like it was then, here was Joshua and Caleb. They wasn't even baptized yet. They didn't even know it had a prophet on the scene. Then one day they saw the prophet. They believed Moses was that prophet. They begin to watch Moses' life. They begin to realize he was prepared and sent by God for their deliverance. They begin to receive the word coming from the mouth of that prophet. There was the good ground. Amen. And when they saw that prophet performing those things, they didn't just want to dance to the Red Sea. I saw their dance too. When joy and the blessing was falling, they got happy too. But they didn't stay there. They didn't stay there. They wanted a deeper life than that. They wanted to be anchored because they saw that prophet under all kinds of circumstances. How he stood there knowing his position. How he was in such close contact with God. Those are the things they were desiring. So we saw that even when they reached the Mount Sinai, many who were dancing in the Red Sea in the time of blessing, they begin to murmur and complain afterwards. The seed was falling on the rocks. The seed was falling on the rocks. In the testing time, they begin to fall away. Look at the 10 spies. They came up to the promise. But they couldn't bring forth the promise. They hadn't the faith. Yet they was under the prophet's message. But the seed the prophet planted could not come forth after its kind. Look at Dathan and Korah and Abiram. They lusted for power and position in the Exodus, in the church. Amen. And they begin to question Moses. You think you're the only holy one here? God using me too. God has talked to me too. They said, I compare the revelation with Moses' own. Amen. And what began to happen? It began to enter in the cares of this life. All kind of worldly ambitions. It ended and choked the seed. Amen. The world swallowed them up. But look at Joshua and Caleb. They kept the word in a good heart. Amen. And they brought forth fruit unto perfection with patience. When they entered the promised land, God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua had never spoken the word yet. Had never spoken the word. He had never saw the kind of signs and wonders the prophet had in his own life. But at the Jordan, he saw God open the Jordan like God opened the Red Sea. God, the angel of the Lord dropped down there and said, I come as the captain of the Lord host. When they were fighting the battle, here was a man who wasn't even baptized when the prophet had come, but who followed faithfully under that message, coming through those stages of experience in the journey. And now in that hour, here he was standing there. He could stop the sun. Amen. He so recognized his position. The same life that was in the prophet was being reproduced through him. Look at Caleb. When everybody was murmuring, when everybody was just coming along being contented, that day in the message, he had another desire. He came to Joshua. He said, give me my mountain. What Moses tell me is mine. He understood what his inheritance was. It was revealed by the mouth of the prophet to him. All them years he carried that desire in his heart. He wasn't satisfied until he was placed positionally. Amen. He was willing to fight for what was his. And until he possessed that inheritance, he could not rest. Why? He mixed the word with faith. But look at Achan in the same church. He ain't Joshua speaking. But he had a desire. He saw the Babylonian garment. He saw the wedge of gold. He thought nobody was seeing. He was going to take it and hide it in his tent. Amen. And the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, begin to enter in and choke the seed. And he never brought forth fruit unto perfection. He and his family was judged like Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. And so even the time of Elijah, here was the prophet Elijah. He was sowing seed. In his age, Ahab and Jezebel, religion and politics, was in a union. But Elijah's message was pulling out 7,000. And in that hour, these 7,000, in there had a Micaiah, in there had a Elisha, who was bringing forth the same thing that the prophet had. Is that right? But there was a Gehazi. Amen. Look what he brought forth. Sitting under the same ministry. Amen. But look at the Shunammite woman. Look at the she had resurrection faith. She had resurrection faith. When her baby died, she said, all is well. Just take me to the man of God. Amen. And so we see that Joshua and Caleb, under the ministry of Moses in the first Exodus. The seed that Moses planted brought forth after its kind. And we saw the other three categories. What happened to them? In the time of Elijah, under his ministry, we saw the ones who brought forth the same kind of life. Elisha had followed faithfully all them years without any signs and wonders in his life. He was receiving a teaching rain. Yet he saw that prophet could shut the heavens. Yet he saw that prophet could open the heavens. Call fire out of the sky. Bring the teaching and repair the altar. And all Elisha was receiving was a teaching. But then the hour came when the Holy Spirit fell upon that planted word. And the people took note that surely the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Look what happened to Gehazi. Look at Jehoshaphat. Look at Obadiah. They had never come into that fullness. Amen. But they were all there in that age. Look at Ahab, the make-believer. Got married in the world with a wife that began to dominate him and corrupt the nation. Amen. So we can see even Jesus' ministry. Peter, James, and John, all of them. They saw Jesus with signs and wonders and with the teaching. Yet they was only receiving the word. But when the Holy Spirit fell, they had dynamics with the mechanics. And if that was in the first Exodus, if that was in the second Exodus, if that was in the time of Elijah, if that was in the time of Elijah, and then here we are in this day. And all those days was a type of this day. Nothing is going wrong, friend. Amen. When the Holy Spirit falls on planted word, the word will live in the people. Let us all stand to our feet. I just want to read you a quote as we close. And the message, Jehovah Jireh, 1962. Brother Branham said, we have had a revival. He said, we fuss so much about latter-rain, movements called latter-rain, former-rain, inner-rain, outer-rain. He said, do you know what former rain means? He had forgotten the Hebrew word. He said, but former rain, the first rain, means a rain of teaching. The second rain is the spirit that's come upon what's been taught and produces the crop. Why is it we have had such a revival? Pentecostal, Baptist, all the other trees, they put forth their buds, as Jesus said. He says, look at Pentecost. What did we do? We sowed denominational seeds. We reaped the denominational harvest. He said, why? The church ought to be on fire for God right now. If there had been a word seed sowed back there, there would be signs, wonders, and miracles. And that church would be together with one heart and one accord, marching towards Zion for the rapture. But what did we do? We had intellectual speeches instead of the word. We had reasoning against the word and everything else. We got to get back to the word. He said, but we are still waiting for that something that's going to take the faith and restore the faith of the children back to the original Pentecostal tree. That the cankerworm eat up. The Roman cankerworm. Caterpillar. All their denomination and creeds eat it down. God said, I'll restore it again in the last days. And it will be restored. God shall send the Holy Ghost in such a way upon planted word. That will restore. The word of God is a seed that a sower went forth to sow. May we be true to the word. May we be true to the word. May we plant the true word. And may we have a heart to receive the true word. May we stay in the place where we can get moisture to keep watering that seed. If it falls in that dust of a worldly life, just living after the pleasures of the world, just being insincere, coming along halfway and trying to live between two desires, how could the seed grow in a patch of weeds? When the minister comes sometimes, he has to take that hole and weed them weeds out. Sometimes we get upset. But God just wants the seed to transform itself so it can bring forth after its kind. This is your offering. If you have held that word in a pure heart, God will keep sending down that rain to make that word live in you. Amen. May he keep pouring out that water. May we get under prayer and consecration. May we stay in that channel where the Holy Spirit could quicken that word. If we have received all kind of different seeds and it's causing us trouble in our lives, sometimes we read books we ought not to read. Sometimes we want to look at them worldly magazines. Sometimes we want to mix it with all them political ideas. There are many sores out there. Sometimes we always listen to the sports, taking in a sports seed. Sometimes we always in the fashion magazine. Sometimes we always on the radio and could hardly give time to a tape. Amen. We're trying to sow our field with diverse seeds. But if we receive that original seed, it'll bring forth a true virtuous life. You wouldn't have to struggle. This would be everyday living to you. Do you believe that? God richly bless you. Thank you for your patience. May when we come back tomorrow, God can just pour some rain upon the word that has been taught. Amen. And we can see a revival breaking forth. Somebody to lift us up in a higher bracket of faith. Where when we pray for the sick, they will not go back sick. Amen. When the captive come in the meeting, they will not go back home in bondage. But that there will be a power here, a presence to make this word live. I believe God promised it, and I know He keeps all His promises. Let us pray. Almighty God, Your people have come. They have sacrificed today. They have taken time off. They have sat attentively. They have given themselves over to the Word. I pray that You would make these things so real within their hearts, Lord. Oh, God, You would send down the rain. Send down the Holy Spirit. May come into their hearts in a greater measure than He has ever been before. May the Word be so quickened, anointed, inspired, that will just be made manifest in the lives of the people, that there will be signs, wonders, and miracles. There will be an anointed faith possessing every gate of the enemy. May You grant it, Father. We thank You for this day and the meetings and all that You have done for us. May it bring glory and honor to Your name. And may there not be one here this evening that have a special desire in their hearts will go away, Lord, without that need being met. May the Holy Spirit supply their need. May You touch them, Lord. May even when they're going to their homes, even in the quiet moments, the Spirit of God will linger with them, bring it back to their remembrance. Visit with them, Lord, and make these things a reality. Confirm Your word, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray and ask it. Amen. God bless you.
While we are standing, with our heads bowed down, we would like to meditate over these things. The Lord has come in this day to reveal what has been done. Amen. He says, I'll come unto you like a rain. And you have seen how the rain comes. There are thunderings. There is lightning. And then there is the shower. And we see this has happened. As lightning comes from the east to the west. Oh, we've really seen that message moving all the way from the east to the west. And it's on the way back to the east again. Because the same gospel which was handed to us, it was handed to us in power. The power, you know, the rain had showered upon it. And then the same gospel, if it has to be taken back to the Jews, it must go back with the same power, with the same signs, with the same clarity. And if they are the people to take that gospel back, where it will be received from, then it must be we people. Let us hold it right. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. My Spirit sweep over your soul. Sweep over. Be ye clean this evening. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I see that your peace, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. What's blocking the germination of the seed? Maybe you can say that mine has germinated. But what about that weed that is in the seed? What about those thorns that are choking up? Let the sweet spirit sweep over our soul. Weed us open. And the songwriter says, my rest is complete while I sit at your feet. How can we sit at the feet of Jesus now? By sitting at the feet of the ministry. We are being loosened, and the mamba is being bound. And the mamba is being bound. And we know that by the time we leave, we shall be a little higher than ever before. Before we just move into worship and talking to God. One more time, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight because you bring a realization, Lord, that in these our last days, Heavenly Father, you have chosen to come unto us as a rain, revealing your word unto us, O God, sending showers of blessings, thundering at our ears, the voice of the Master in his own church, revealing himself in the Son of Man ministry in these our last days, believing and knowing that you have got a people that have been ordained in every age, Lord, and now you are coming out, calling out every name that has been sent upon the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord Jesus, we appreciate being that name. Lord, we are part of that great move of God in these last days. Lord God, we thank you, Savior, in blessing you for the ministry's Father that have got a deep prophetic insight, showing us our position, showing us we are living in the other time. Bless the ministry, Lord. Show him a greater answer. Move along with him. Together, Lord God, may you cause the people that have had their ears stopped, Lord God, get opened up and receive the truth that have been ordained for our day. We thank you, bless you, Lord God. Blessed be your holy name, Heavenly Father. We give you the honor. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to the Holy One of Israel. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are
covering us again. Father, for one great move. Lord God, there's going to come a power. There's going to come an anointing. Father, dear Lord God, when your word is becoming life in us, Heavenly Father, may the people recognize you. May the people know you. That you are moving, Heavenly Father, getting us to a higher dimension that we have ever been before. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to hold on. We want to anchor. We want to be home. Lord God, you have brought us to a position, Lord, where we shall never go home. Hallelujah. Thank you and glory be unto thy holy name. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Oh, sweep of our soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep of our souls. Sweet Spirit, sweep of our souls. Our rest is complete while we sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep of our soul, we pray this evening. Lord, blessed be your holy name. Reveal yourself, Lord. Let you touch everybody. Hallelujah. Glory be to your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you the honor and the respect, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you, Father. We lift up, Father, dear Lord God, our voice. Because thou art so good. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks and honor. Knowing that we are a privileged people. Lord, we are a bride that you have called, that won't fall by creed or denomination. Lord Jesus, you have come all the way, and Lord, you are not going to drop any of us. All that the Lord gave, the Master, the Father gave unto thee, Lord, you are going to present them in the last. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have come in these last days to call out the names that have been written on the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, and these people are going to hear the call, and they are going to understand the purpose why you call them. Lord, they are going to recycle that voice of the prophet that you have used in our day. And Lord, they are going to take up that voice. They are going to recycle that prophecy. They are going to take it across. They will become a witness unto the people. Heavenly Father, I desire that you may strengthen them. Father, may you bless the minister that has spoken to us. Lord, and we pray that may the people that have gathered this day, Lord God, go back home blessed, feeling secure in your own call, knowing that you began a good work in them. Lord, you are going to bring it to completion. Father, may more of your anointing come down. Father, may you touch everybody. May you meet every need of every person. Lord, we just desire to see you manifested more and deeper as the meetings are going on growing from temple to temple. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Sweet. Oh.